Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Still stuck on hold and paying too much for insurance? Switch to M&M Insurance Agency. Real people, real options, real savings. Call 601-651-6001 or visit M&MInsuranceAgency.net today.
What's up? Welcome in, everybody. I thought we were done. I thought we were done with Legal Talk Mississippi after Trinidad got his eligibility. I thought we were done with that. We are not done with that. Although this one, a lot less nuanced, a pretty cut and dry situation is unfolding with Ole Miss and LSU in this particular case. To me, maybe I'm crazy. Call me crazy. Call me whatever you want. I don't know. I think this is as cut and dry and easy to digest and consume and understand and take one side of, unless you live in the state of Louisiana, as anything could possibly be. But we got news tonight that Ole Miss has officially filed suit, and they are seeking the almost $1 million owed to them after contracts were broken shortly after they were signed by two former players that transferred to LSU. Again, they signed revenue sharing agreements. That is with the university. So we will talk about that on this edition of the podcast. I'm so glad that you guys are here wherever you are. I know that a lot of you are here in the state of Mississippi, but some of you are not. Wherever you are, stealing a line from Colin Cowherd here, wherever you are, or however you may be listening, thank you for making me a part of your day. That's my favorite line. I don't know if he still does it. I haven't listened to Cowherd in forever. But when I was in college, my roommate and we rushed a fraternity right away, and so we were never, like, in the dorm anyway. So we decided not to, like, overspend on the TV package. We just got the television package that came with the dorm. And it got like six channels. One of them was ESPNU. And I went to college. I wanted to be a writer. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to write. But Mr. Magazine, my professor, Journalism 101 first class, did a, it was a big auditorium class. And he said, put your hand up if you want to be a writer. And I put my hand up. He goes, go ahead and drop out, find something else to do because writing is dead, is how he put it. Luckily, it's not. I think writing is still very much a thing that people consume as long as you are good enough. But that's what I wanted to be. And so I was kind of lost. I thought, I'd spent my whole life wanting to do media. I want to write. I want to be opinionated. I don't want to do TV. Not that there's anything wrong with TV, guys. It's just I wanted something more long form. And I don't know what I'm going to do now. And then every day we would just put on ESPNU because it was the only sports we had in the dorm, and Cowherd was on. And that's when I grew to love this platform. And then eventually I started putting on the podcast with Neil and Chase when they first started getting started. And then in the afternoon, if I was driving around, I would put on Head to Head with Matt Wyatt and Richard Cross. And that kind of stoked my love for and desire to do this now with the radio show that I used to listen to. And now doing this podcast with you guys is cool too. But that was my favorite part of the Cowherd show, though, was his intro. That line, that wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thanks for making us a part of your day. And then he would have a really quality, like, opening rant that was well written. He would have analogies and stuff mixed in there, and it was really well done. And he ended up kind of losing his fastball when he moved over to Fox, but that was 3 minutes of wasted time for you. But there's a little trip down memory lane. Anyway, I am glad you're here. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report. So all you got to do is just search it and subscribe and leave a rating and a review if you like what you hear. I would hope and invite you to do that with me. This edition of the show brought to you by Scruggs in Saltillo, Mississippi, near Tupelo. All right, great people at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. They've got everything you need under one roof, anything you need. Home improvement projects, appliances, clothes even, a great fishing section, the cheapest beer in town. And anything for your yard or your hunting property or your land or anything in between. And they've got your John Deere, America's tractor, America's lawnmower, and has been for a long, long, long time. They say nothing runs like a deer. Nothing in terms of financing beats 0%. 0% for 36 months on commercial mowers, 0% on 72 months with compact with their compact tractors, their 5 Series tractors, 0% 84 months, 0 turn mowers, 0% for 36 months, and a Gator, just 1.9% if you want a Gator, 1.9% for 36 months. Go tell them that it was me that sent you at Scruggs in Saltillo. They will take care of you. They are really good people there. And yeah, go support them and tell them that it was me that sent you there. So news broke about just before 6 o'clock today on this Tuesday that Ole Miss released that they released a statement. They are going to pursue legal action to get the almost $1 million that they are owed. Here's the statement from Ole Miss. It's wordy, but I feel like if you're just listening and you have not seen the statement, I should read it to you. Quote, the University of Mississippi values its student athletes and is committed to honoring all obligations made to them. In return, the university expects that same commitment from its student athletes and their representatives in upholding their contracts. Before transferring to another institution, student athletes Devin Harper and Prince Will Umanmielen signed revenue sharing agreements that included a provision requiring them to compensate the university with a predetermined amount if they departed before fulfilling their commitment. The University of Mississippi has a responsibility to enforce its contractual terms, and this position is consistent with the actions of other institutions in the current landscape of college athletics. The university attempted to amicably resolve this matter prior to filing. Timelines are outlined below. So, before we get to the timelines, there's a couple of things in there that kind of stand out to me that are worth discussing here. I am aware of what the revenue sharing contracts that Ole Miss has anyway, what's in them and what they look like. And if there's any, and I don't think there is, I haven't seen it, I mean, besides like loser burners online, but I haven't seen anybody suggest that there could be ambiguous language in these contracts. If there's anybody suggesting that, they're wrong. And they also have clearly not seen them. It's pretty straightforward. Maybe the right high-priced lawyer can find a way out of it. I don't know. But in terms of the language and what the adults that read through it and the adults that signed it, there's no ambiguity. This is something that is very well understood. It is very clearly laid out, even in layman's terms, for someone like me, because I understood it when I read it. It's very clear and cut and dry. And remember, at the time that they decided to transfer, they were told that you have this buyout. Remember, you have this buyout. And the second they transferred, the news came out that, hey, they had revenue sharing agreements, therefore there will be a buyout owed to Ole Miss. Everybody involved in this, and that is a very important detail for anybody willing to try to argue the other side of thinking that this money does not need to get paid. Like the people on that side, very few, a very small number. But those people are simply incorrect if they suggest, intimate, whatever, that every party involved in this deal did not know exactly what was involved. Everybody knew exactly what was in the contract. It's very clearly laid out, defined, clear to understand and read. When they were talking about transferring, it was made clear, you have a buyout, you signed a rev share deal, it includes a buyout, just so you know. And then when they transferred, it was made clear again that there is a buyout that you signed. The contracts are very cut and dry and clear. There's not any crazy language in them. So if anybody tries to suggest that, just know that they're simply wrong. And that suggestion tells you that they have not seen it. Okay, here's the timeline. I'll do one. I'll do Prince Will's because they're basically the same. And the point remains. So the timeline that Ole Miss laid out on January 3rd at 10 o'clock at night, Prince Will signed a revenue sharing agreement with Ole Miss. That is different. And 99% of you know this, but I still get the comments. I still see people that will try to compare this to Luke Farrelly. Luke Farrelly did not have, to my knowledge, maybe he did, but there has been no reporting that he had a revenue sharing agreement with Clemson. A financial aid agreement only binds the school to the player, not the player to the school. That has been the case forever. And there are people, well, a person in this state that tries to tell you that a revenue sharing agreement and a financial aid agreement are both binding. They are not. That is not true. That is not accurate. The only binding contract that exists right now in college sports for the players are a rev share agreement, not an NIL agreement, not a financial aid agreement, and not even really a scholarship. It is just the rev share agreements that bind player to school as much as school to player, because it is physically the school paying the player for the first time. It's a very new thing, but Ole Miss is not the only program that has enforced their contracts or had to deal with buyouts. They are absolutely not on an island of one when it comes to this. So clearing that up. He signs the rev share agreement on January 3rd. He then enters the transfer portal at 11:40 p.m. on January 20th. And before 10 a.m. on January 21st, he signed a scholarship with LSU. Now, that's just funny. I'm sorry. That's just funny that in 10 hours, a player was able to somehow look, you guys know me, by the way, tampering is part of the game. So, you know, that's part of the game. You got to play it. Don't cry about tampering because you are too, has been my stance the whole time. It is kind of funny, though, that within 10 hours, a player was able to enter the transfer portal, go through an entire recruiting process and make a decision in 10 hours. That is really funny. That there are people out there in my business that suggest that it's not rampant and widespread. Total nonsense. But anyway, so he signs with LSU on January 21st. On January 22nd, Ole Miss sent a letter to him formally requesting payment. It was not responded to. On February 19th, the 30-day deadline to make a payment was reached, and obviously there was no response. On March 12th, happy birthday to me. On March 12th, Ole Miss contacted LSU and requested payment on Prince Will's behalf. 6 days later, LSU denied payment, stating they are not a party to the contract. That's important. On the 27th, yesterday, Ole Miss filed a suit for breach of contract. And on the same day, Ole Miss contacted Prince Will and LSU requesting payment to avoid additional costs. So that is the timeline that has been laid out from Ole Miss. LSU was reached for comment. They chose not to comment for whatever that may be worth to you. So we talked about this before. It's kind of a cut and paste situation, but there are two things that you see in reaction to this. One is the more rational, sane commentary, which 99% of people have in this case, where, okay, it's professional sports. These guys are signing contracts. These players are making hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. They make business decisions. They call them business decisions. So when you conduct business and you sign a contract and there's a buyout in that contract and you choose to break that contract, you are to be held to the terms of that contract and it should be paid. Period. And the overwhelming majority of human beings on this earth agree with that statement because it is very cut and dry. They signed rev share deals with the school. They chose to transfer shortly thereafter. They knew there would be a buyout. There's another thing that I see sometimes. There is nothing in the contract that says that Ole Miss had to have paid them in full or whatever in order for there to be an enforceable buyout. That is not at all part of this discussion. So that is a made up thing. That's not part of this discussion. It's not paying back money that was given. It is a penalty, so to speak, for breaking the contract. Just like what coaches have. When Lane Kiffin went from Ole Miss to LSU, Ole Miss is owed a buyout for Lane Kiffin's contract. It's very simple stuff. It really baffles me that there's anybody that argues against that, but still. So you have that side. And then you have the people that think that Ole Miss should not pursue this. And I ask you very plainly, if you're a fan of college football, regardless of the team that you have, do you really think that it would be wise for anybody to set the precedent that contracts are meaningless, that you can have a contract and it is not enforceable? You can have buyouts and they mean nothing. Do you really think that, especially considering the current state of college football, because it is a mess right now, that the one thing that schools can have that gives them, I mean, just a little bit of power, you think that it would be the best, not only for Ole Miss, but for the sport as a whole, to ignore $1 million worth of buyouts that are owed to them? That makes absolutely no sense, other than if you're looking at it from the perspective of LSU bad, Ole Miss good, and everything LSU good, and everything Ole Miss bad. Unless you're operating in that prism, which, you know, I get it. Commentators got to pay their bills. And if there's a commentator in the state of Louisiana, probably, you know, is going to take the side of LSU. And I get all that, whatever. But I'm telling you to dismiss that because it makes no sense. It's not even worth commentating on or commenting on. It's not worth investing your emotional capital beyond listening to this right here or us on the radio show or whatever, because it's nonsensical to think that you should just let $1 million that are owed to you for two players that you were counting on being on your roster. And why were you counting on them? Because they signed agreements to come back. Them leaving and owing you a buyout, not pursuing that, is nonsense to suggest that that is something that they shouldn't pursue. It's nonsense to even suggest that that is a rational position to have. It's just nonsense, and I would ignore it completely is what I would do. My question is the same question that I had the other day, and I'm sure that there are there's like a legal positioning going on from the LSU perspective, but I sure hope that they wouldn't talk these players into, and that's what you do when you recruit, you talk a player into something. So again, not hating the player, not even really hating the game, is what you got to do, right? You got to find ways to get players to get in the portal so they can join your team so you can win, right? That's all they did. They got players that can help them to enter the portal so they can win. Is it shady? Of course, but that's college football. College football is shady. But when you do that, and you make promises, because there is, and I mean a 0%, and I mean a 0% chance that LSU talks those guys into entering the portal to go to LSU without telling them that, hey, we'll take care of the buyout. That'll be covered. There is a 0% chance that those players entered the portal with the expectation that they would be on the hook for the buyouts that they owe. And I mean a 0% chance. So why LSU would let this hang out there the way that they have is fascinating to me. And again, maybe there's a legal reason for that. Maybe the lawyers are trying to cook something up by saying that they're detached from this. I'm sure there's a legal reason for that. But if you never attach yourself to this, are you really going to put two of your players on the hook for money that you told them that you would take care of? Maybe the players did think that they were going to be on the hook for this. Maybe they did. It's so far-fetched, I can't... No. I talked to somebody earlier today that told me somebody that would know, I think, that that was part of the pitch to Ole Miss players that did not enter the portal was take care of the buyout. We got you. Talked to somebody else that said it may not have come from Lane Kiffin, but that is certainly part of the process. When you're talking about getting players in the portal that have buyouts, you tell them that you pay it. You don't leave the player on the hook for it. I mean, that's just standard stuff across. I mean, that's just 1 + 1 = 2. So I don't know why LSU would continue to let this hang out there, because if they think that this is somehow damaging Ole Miss, they're wrong. And that's the last thing before we get to your comments. Again, it's something that you just kind of roll your eyes at. This is exclusively opinion that is held in the LSU good, Ole Miss bad, and that's it ecosystem. If you think this is hurting recruiting, I really want to show you to show your work. Present the logic to me on that. Because if you're suggesting that a player signing a rev share deal and then transferring 2 weeks later is somehow something that is going to impact recruiting, please explain that further to me. I'm open-minded. Please explain that further to me and tell me how that affects recruiting. Because how many players are going to sign new deals with the school and then 2 weeks later try to leave that school? The list of players that will do that is so small that it's not even worth discussing. Most people are smarter than that. The overwhelming majority of them either wouldn't sign the deal or wouldn't try to leave 2 weeks later. But think about that. Oh, you don't want to go to Ole Miss because when you go there and you sign a contract and you try to leave 2 weeks later, they're going to hold you to the terms of the contract. So you don't want to go there. Come here to LSU where you can leave anytime. You can sign a deal with us and then leave a week later and nothing will happen. That doesn't make any sense. That's illogical unless you're operating in the LSU good, Ole Miss bad, and that's it mindset. That's it. That also makes no sense at all. So I shouldn't even be talking about something like this beyond just, hey, this happened, and move on. Because simply put, the counter arguments are all illogical, but that is where we are. That is simply where we are right now. We operate in a world of absolute everybody online is stupid, it seems, these days. But oh well, whatever. I'm just glad you guys are here, I suppose. Football season's getting closer. Training camp will start in 9 days, I believe. 9 days. So, looking forward to that. Talking about actual football. Podcast is brought to you in part by Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance, Auto Home Life, or Insurance for Your Business. Auto Home Life or Business Insurance anywhere in Mississippi, and I mean anywhere in the great state of Mississippi. 601-823-3500. 601-823-3500. 00. Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance, has you covered. Auto, home, life, or insurance for your business. Tell them it was me that sent you. Also, Priority One Bank, to make you their priority every day. Great online banking platform, 16 locations in Mississippi. Local loan servicing and decision making, it's in the name. Priority One Bank will take care of you and make you their priority. Tell them that it was me that sent you there. And finally, Advantage Business Systems, absms.com is the website for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. All right. Good to see everybody. Glad to see you. Just let Pete have the money when they pay up. Let him go and play a little bit at Tunica. No, don't do that. Tony with the 10 jewels. I don't quite know what that means, but thank you. I think it means something. I appreciate you. And you also say happy poop on them. So, you know, thank you, Tony. I wouldn't transfer to LSU if I had a buyout. I mean, that's the thing, too. It's you see some of this commentary online. Again, it's very unintelligent stuff. But, well, clearly Ole Miss is broke. Can't you immediately turn that back around and say, it's just $1 million. you have all this money flowing all over the place. It's everywhere. Now you're putting your players in the middle of something like this that you knew that they were. Everybody knew this. That's the thing. This is not surprising. Everybody knew this. It was made very clear to everyone involved. Why would you put them in the middle of this if you're just flush with cash? Why would you do that? See how you can quickly spin that? So anyway, whoops. I'll be happy if either one of the guys wins the Heisman. I think Trinidad has the best chance, but if Keywon is invited to New York, that means they had a great season. Absolutely. I think it's telling that you haven't seen anyone really badmouth Ole Miss over this. The overwhelming majority of people are supportive. Yes, exactly. I mean, it really only comes from one corner of the discussion, and even that corner is not 100% in defense mode. It is everybody wants there to be some kind of structure and enforcement. This is, albeit a very small amount, but this is structure and enforcement. These guys want to be professionals. They want to act like professionals. They want to talk about business. They want to have agents. They want to make business decisions. Here is how business works. This is life as a professional. You have contracts, and I mean, you can ask for a trade all day in the NFL, but if you're under contract, sorry, pal. You either play or you get fined, but no team has to trade you, even if you ask for it. So this is life as a professional. Welcome. You can't sign things unless you expect what you sign to be upheld. It'll never go to court because they'll have to say under oath that LSU said they would pay the money back. And also it will go down in Mississippi too. So let this be a warning to those people giving the players bad advice. If you sign a contract, then you are bound by that contract. I will say, I don't know who their agents are. Could be great agents. I don't know. But in the college football NIL space, in the rev share contract space, there are real agents. There are good agents that have law degrees, that are certified with the NFLPA, and have like real agent intentions. And then there are people that are not educated the way that they should be, that they don't have the appropriate degrees. They don't have the appropriate legal background. They've never written contracts. They don't understand contract law. And they really give bad advice. And college football would be well served to have some kind of agent certification like the NFL does through the Players Association. But of course, you know, the players in college can't unionize, because then we would have to admit that they're professionals. And God knows we can't admit that the guys making six figures or seven figures to play college football are professional athletes. So they're getting all they want with nobody telling them no on anything. Are you talking about the players? Yeah, of course. Pretty simple stuff. People who try to argue this are mental. I mean, they have to be. If you're not tampering, you're not trying. Exactly. That's why I don't complain about it. It is funny to look at the timeline the way it's laid out like that, but that's why I said it on here. Don't cry about tampering, because you are too. And I mean that about literally everybody. You know, if Ole Miss tried to keep it under wraps, something like this would leak, then it would look like Ole Miss was trying to hide it. There's nothing to hide here. It's straightforward. Also, it's been months since the notice for payment. I mean, that happened in February. They kept it quiet for 5 months. 5 months they kept this quiet. LSU had ample opportunity to make sure this never saw the light of day. Ample opportunity. They chose not to pay. So now it sees the light of day. I mean, don't kick a wall and be mad that your foot hurts, you know? So you're admitting that they never paid the players anything, but they want to pay us to pay them. And it's funny that we saw a guy, quote, tampering when y'all took a guy out of a class. Well said, Robert. Well said. LSU fan, Robert. Sorry, I was being kind of a jerk there. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have acted like that. But man, you didn't listen to a word I said. It doesn't matter if they paid them or not. It doesn't matter if they, if Ole Miss paid the full length of the contract or not. That does not matter. The contract stated that they were going to get paid a certain amount over the next 12 months. If they broke that contract to go to a different school, they owed Ole Miss a buyout in order to break that contract. Very simple to understand. Very simple to understand. Ole Miss took a tight end with a buyout, paid it. He hadn't been paid either. Exactly, because that's how it works. That's how it works. So. Anyway. I don't even know where to go next. I mean, all these comments, I think we should just move on if that's okay with you guys. And not much else to add here. I am more curious than anything else that or why LSU has chosen to delay this as long as they have. That's really the question that I would have is, what are you waiting for? Because if you were trying to drag this out to make Ole Miss look bad, it has not had the desired effect. Again, because nationally, the reception has either been people don't care or, I mean, yeah, it's a contract, dude, pay it. You knew what you were signing. So that's not working. And, I mean, it's kind of similar in a way to the Vanity Fair deal. I'm sure when that was done and the interview was done and the article came out, those people thought that it would look really good. And the national response to that was, what the hell are you doing? You know, it was it was not received well. And so if this is part of that strategy, it's a failed one. It's just simply a failed one. It's not working to its intended effect. Look, this should be cut and dry. It's an enforceable contract. Most interesting part is LSU on record saying that they wouldn't pay it, but they will. I think they will as well. I mean, this will get resolved by them. Just don't buy anything about more fuel to the fire. It can be a talking point, but does anyone actually care? That's funny. I don't think most people don't really care. You'll have a small select group of Louisiana-based online people that will care. And, you know, it is what it is. It's the off season still. So, yeah. But no, I think most people look at this as pretty cut and dry. I don't think this enhances anything about the game. I do think that you guys saw, again, mostly from national on three people, which, again, when I say this, I'm not talking at all about the local people. I did a little bit on the Talk of Champions podcast while at Media Days, and it was great. Great guys. They do good work. When I mention on three, I'm not talking about the local guys. I will not take shots at local Ole Miss media. I won't do it. I may disagree with things that are said. I've done that before, but like little pot shots, no way in hell. I think everybody that I've interacted with that covers Ole Miss professionally in real life has been incredibly kind and gracious and like good. There's a lot of good people that cover your favorite athletic department. So I'm not doing that. But man, you've got these national on three people. With the exception of like Andy Staples, who I like, and JD Pickell. But I mean, you saw a lot of the, oh, wow, well, God, this just makes that more fire. This game should be played in the Roman Coliseum and all this stuff. The people that clickbait the hell out of stuff like this and fan these flames will then turn around on September 19th and try to act morally superior when it's intense. Like they spend all offseason fanning the flames and clickbaiting it and fanning and clickbaiting, and then they will turn around and condemn you for doing what they promoted you doing. I can't stand that, but that's what they do. Clickbait with no nuance. They did it to Pete Golding at Media Days. Pete Golding gave a great quote about his sales pitch to Kiwan and Trinidad about legacy. And they pulled one sentence out of that quote, did the graphic and all that. And it, frankly, it made Pete look bad. The part that they clickbaited and the part of the quote that they pulled was framed in a way that kind of made Golding look like an ass. And then you read the whole quote and it's like, that's a really good point. Quinn Ewers basically said exactly what Pete Golding said when he chose to enter the draft instead of transfer out of Texas. He said the same thing. He's like, there's more value in my life 20 years from now if I'm known as Quinn Ewers, the Texas quarterback, and not Quinn Ewers, the, I don't know, Tulane quarterback for 1 year. That there's value in legacy. And it was a really good quote, but On3 pulled that and they clickbaited the heck out of the one line that made it look like something it wasn't. And they're doing that with this game too. It's just, it's frustrating. It really is. That's national. I'm not talking about the local guys. Okay. I want to make that clear because I'm not taking shots at local guys. I don't think anybody has ever done that to me. I'm certainly not going to return the favor. So anyway, look at Damon Williams and what was going to be with his new redshirt bot. Exactly. It's a simple thing that can be enforced by a court. Yes, this will very easily be settled. Decided, I should say, in a Mississippi court if it goes that far. So, shout out to the Tony the Shark graphic. I mean, give me a break. JD Pikel has promoted the very thing you're trying to stop. Stop taking up for trash. Well, look, I follow him. He doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to condemn the crazy atmosphere. Maybe he is. I don't know. He is somebody that I like a lot personally. I think he loves the game. When he has been a guest on the radio show, he has been nothing but wildly complimentary of Ole Miss and of Pete Golding and everybody. So if he has said something that runs counter to that, I have not seen it. So if that has happened, I haven't seen it. My interactions with him have been incredibly pleasant. And yeah, I mean, he's high on Lane Kiffin and LSU. A lot of people are. He's a good coach. They have a $50 million roster. They sure as hell better win. But he doesn't strike me as a guy that is out to get Ole Miss. I've never gotten that vibe from him. I think he's a commentator. And seems to be a pretty stand-up guy away from the microphone. And that certainly cannot be said about everybody in that business. But I do think when it comes to him, I'm a fan of his. So if he has said something that has off-put you, I understand. But I'm a fan of his. Big 12 has to feel so dumb after seeing the Ohio State sponsorship today. Oh, God, imagine. Ole Miss might be coming soon. I know that Parham has talked about the field. There's been some discussions about the jersey patch. The sponsor is an interesting one if it happens. It would be a national brand. So, but I don't know if it's happening or not. Will the $1 million make y'all feel better? It's worth watching y'all effing melt down. It's, you know what's funny about this 25 shine down LSU fan? I interact with tens of thousands of Ole Miss fans every day. And not a single one has had any reaction other than, well, they better pay because it's in the contract. Contracts are contracts. Sorry. I don't think anybody's been really upset or anything other than just kind of, you better pay. So, I don't know, man. I think you might be projecting a little bit. Am I going to watch the new Spider-Man movie? I don't know. I don't know. Probably. Probably watch it with my son. Another 10 jewels. Happy. What's the happy poop thing? Y'all help me out with that. What is that? And what are jewels? I've never seen that before. Fellas, who was renting money? Why haven't they paid? That's a good question. That's the question. Wouldn't this come out of LSU's rev share? Is that just a rumor? That was the initial thought. I don't know if that's the case, though. I don't know, because if LSU is not a part of this, then maybe that's the legal thing that they're trying to fight. I don't know. Parham said the jersey was happening. I believe him. I believe him. The conversation I had earlier today was not as like it's done. The field, I think, is done. I don't know. I'll ask. I need to reach out to Ole Miss for a few things anyway, because we're going to be in Oxford for the Not Fall Camp Tour on Tuesday. I believe it's the 18th of next month. Yes, Tuesday the 18th, we'll be in Oxford. I would love for you guys to come. I know not all of you guys live in Oxford. But if you're there, I know it's a Tuesday afternoon, but I am working on a pretty expansive guest list for that one. So people that you'll want to be there to see. So I'm excited about that. Anything on the stadium renovations yet? I will ask when we're there, if nothing happens between now and then. So what the hell's happy poop? I have no idea. I mean, what are you guys talking about? There's two of you. What is that? It's probably like a message board thing about me that I missed or something. I hope so. I don't know. I don't get it. But I mean, if jewels are good, then I'll take them. But I have no idea what that means. I probably don't want to know. Actually, don't tell me. I don't want to know. I'm good not knowing. Oh man. Well, hey, I appreciate you guys. You guys are the best. And Pete Nakos posted the NCAA guidelines for RevShare buyouts. LSU owes the money and it counts against their cap. Okay, so then here's a theory. Let me see what the theory could be. They don't have the cap space to pay it. And also, by the way, the contracts say that it has to be litigated in Mississippi. There's one for you. That's also part of the contract that they signed, is that if there is a legal battle over it, it has to happen here. So you say they'd have to pull it from another sport. Here's the thing, Matt. It's all one pot. So there's not a football rev share. There is, but that's up to the school's discretion. There's an amount that they can spend for all sports, and they can spend it however they want, but it's all one same amount. So I don't know. I mean, maybe that is the answer. I have not seen anybody confirm that one way or another from that covers LSU. I think that would be a question to ask, is simply, why hasn't it been paid? Is that because you don't have the cap space to pay it? I don't know. But the more this drags on, I mean, that Occam's razor, that makes the most sense. We'll see. I don't know. I know it's one hell of a wrinkle to an already crazy storyline. And you're right. The LSU part of it is the only interesting thing. The why is the only interesting part of this story. Everything else makes sense and is in line. So anyway, I appreciate you guys as always. Again, I'll see you on Thursday night. Talk to you guys then. Y'all have a good one.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.